Schoenstein, he does baseball, and Coach Frederick's the head basketball coach. Coach Kitts helps with basketball and football both, and he's in another school district. So really the only in-house person that could possibly do it was going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I threw my hat in the ring, and I was lucky enough to get the position.
Yeah. Did you ever have any hesitation?
Yeah, I did. being around for 30 years, I don't have the energy level that I had when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have the love for the game. I love being around the players. I feel young when I'm around them. When I get home at night, like tonight, that's when things start to hit me. But I look forward to going back at it again tomorrow. I mean, that's just the way the process is. I love the game of football, so that's the way things can work for me.
All right, so you say you love the game of football, and one of the things we've been doing with all the coaches this week is to step back in time and go all the way back to when it was that you first got bit by either the football or just the sports bug in general, when you thought, you know, when you were a youngster, it's like, I want to do that at school.
Well, I was always a big kid, so I did play flag football through second grade. Played youth tackle. Actually, we played flag football the whole way through sixth grade. But I was always a lineman, so get my name in the paper and scoring a touchdown, that was never something I could accomplish. But I had a lot of fun being part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we had a lot of success the whole way up through. And then by the time I got to be a senior, we actually won the first district championship at Central High School. And that's what I really knew. And I started thinking about, well, after high school, about being a coach.
Okay.
I continued on at St. Francis. I played up there for 2 years before a couple injuries knocked me out. But then when I got out, Jack Crider, I actually got into the officials rank. I was a football official for 2 years. But we had so many officials in Blair County that I couldn't even get a game.
Speaking of officials, Rich D'Elia told me to be sure to say hi to you.
He's a great man. Hello to Rich, too.
Yeah. But, let's go back to the days when you were young. Was it the kind of thing where, you know, maybe during the summer, instead of playing football, you maybe played a little football during the summer, or did you get into baseball too?
People laugh. We played football a lot in the summertime. We played our local Little League field.
Mm-hmm.
I lived on New Street in Roaring Spring. We had a couple teachers in our area, and we played crossways between. There's an empty lot a couple blocks down. We play there all the time. We go up to the football field and Roaring Spring Athletic Field. We get games going on up there on Sundays. There's always football happening, even in baseball season.
Okay.
Especially when you got fall. I mean, it was just something you were expected to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah. When did you get to a point, because, you know, being a lineman at some point ends up being something that you have to be physically prepared for. And so things that, you know, just your size on itself isn't going to carry in. It's like, okay, I got to start doing this. I got to start, you know, maybe lifting weights or whatever it may be. When did that hit you, since you were a larger in stature young person? When did it hit you? I got to start working on this other stuff.
Probably about fourth and fifth grade. I had a couple coaches, Harry Bechtel and Rick Boozer. They made being a lineman fun. I mean, they recognized that you weren't ever going to be the person that makes the big plays and have the highlights, but they made sure to include all the linemen and everything that was being done and try to keep the celebrations with the linemen too and make it very opportunistic for them. Then I got to junior high. I had a coach by the name of Fred Geyer. He was excellent. He started a lifting program at our junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when things really started settling with me. We didn't have a whole lot of linemen. We had 60-plus kids out for junior high football, but we probably only had 5 or 6, 7 linemen. There wasn't a whole lot of us.
Yeah.
So we knew that we were the ones that were going to have to get things done up front and make the preparations and do all the little things that people don't realize happens in the off season in games that makes a team successful.
Yeah.
Again, Fred Geyer was very beneficial for me as a player growing up, that making sure I'm doing like the little fundamental things correctly.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you could give a little fault to John Madden, because he always called the linemen big uglies.
Big uglies. Yeah.
So,
Dancing Bears. I had a line coach up at St. Francis, Kevin Lindsman. He's in the Bellwood area there.
Yeah.
He always called us a bunch of dancing bears. I mean, he made it fun. I mean, it was.
That's great.
Oh, I enjoyed him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great coach for the years.
Yeah. And those are the kinds of things, too, you know, as you go along and you go further into football. And you get to a point where it's a team. Yes, you're part of a team, but it eventually ends up at the point where it's your family too. It's like your second family.
Absolutely, yes. A lot of coaching staffs became like fathers. I mean, they were there for the highs, down there for the lows. They gave input on things. Maybe like I was going heading to college, I couldn't think about a major. And Jack Kreider said about education, and I'll be honest, I was pretty good at math. I didn't really think about education much, but when I ended up leaving football in college and I realized I could still be involved with the game of football through coaching, that's when education part came into influence for me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's there's a lot of twists and turns. Well, you had mentioned let's keep going there through into high school. What particular team out of the years you played at high school was one that you really felt good about, you were the most proud of while you spent those times out there in the high school field?
1990, the Central High School team, we won a 3A district championship game.
Mm-hmm.
We beat, I'm drawing a blank, Central Cambria.
Okay.
But that was the highlight, because the years before that, with Jack Carter, we struggled a little bit. I think we were 1-9 my sophomore year and 4-5-1 my junior year. Then all of a sudden things seemed to click. I mean, we were getting things done up front. We were having success. We were tackling well. Just all around a team effort. We didn't really have superstars that paced us to the district championship, but we had 11 guys working as one unit. And that has molded me to as a coach now. It's not a couple individuals. It's not a couple superstars. But we got to have all 11 guys doing things together to be successful.
Yeah, yeah, and there have been, since I have been involved broadcasting the program for a while now, there have been some bona fide superstars on those teams.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've coached Alex Hohenstein, Lucas Runk, Hunter Smith the last couple years, mm-hmm. Jeff Hohenstein. I mean, these guys are phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I think all these guys also realize that they don't have the linemen and stuff up front to do their job, they wouldn't have been as successful as they've been.
Yep. If there's not a hole, you can't run through it.
That's right.
But that's such a big part of the game. And, you know, you end up, like I say, it becomes like a second family. And then even within that second family, there's the additional family of the linemen. You know, you guys kind of gel together, and you're kind of your own family too.
Yep. We're a little bit different breed. I mean, they have to understand that they're not going to get recognized if they do something well. If they have some failures and they make mistakes, everybody sees that and everybody hears about that. And that's where I come in as a line coach, especially in the past. We made sure we celebrate everything. I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when you have the success we've been having at the Central program, we had a lot of things to celebrate.
Yeah. And one of the things that, we used to have a player of the game that we would pick from week to week. And we eventually got to the point where it's, you know, we're not just, you know, it's not just the guys on offense. There's other guys out there that are doing things. And we picked, I think, two defensive linemen and one offensive lineman over the course of the season to get the player of the game award that we gave away. And the smiles on those guys' faces when we came, hey, you won the award last week. And we bring the plaque out to them, and they were, you know, really happy to get those.
They recognize that they don't usually get any significant recognition. So when things like that occur, I mean, it's just icing on the cake for them. I mean, they really don't expect it, but when it happens, they love every minute of it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if anybody out there is a Steeler fan, and I think there may be one or two that could be listening right now, you know what the line means, especially in the offensive side. Well, defensive side, too. You know, with the Steelers and the offensive line of recent years has just not been what it used to be. Now, one of the things, and maybe you can tell me I'm full of something, I remember back in the days, you know, those 70s Steeler teams, and they began doing this thing that's referred to as trap blocking. And trap blocking covers up, or at least it seemed to, if you had a shortcoming in the line because of that motion that the linemen make when you're trap blocking, it helps, you know, somebody that maybe isn't doing as well as they'd like to, it helps them, and they become better because of the trap block, because you got that additional motion on there. Yeah. Everybody's used to it being a straight up, you know, it's like two bulls, you know, locking horns. And when you go with a trap block, it changes everything.
Absolutely. I mean, especially if the defensive line is really aggressive. They really want to try to work up field. The trap takes all their aggression away because they have to stay under control and basically work within a couple yards of the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1990 when I graduated, I mean, I think they said we ran a trap and a counter trap about 23, 24 times in the district championship game. And we have never run it that much before.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of our things. I mean, we weren't the biggest, strongest kids, but we could run our trap, just like you said, very efficiently. And that led to our success.
Yeah, because that'll create holes, you know, in the line so that your running back can get through those, or your quarterback, if he's in trouble, he has a way to go, too.
And
that's such a big part of it. Since I'm on the Steelers, this one thing, we were talking about the defensive line because we gave the defensive line a couple of awards, too. And Cam Hayward, I'd like to know where that man found his fountain of youth. Amazing to see, because, you know, folks, if you don't notice, and a lot of people don't, because, you know, like Coach just said, that's when you're on the line, you don't get a lot of attention paid to you. But the bottom line with the NFL, your career is going to be between 3 and 4 years long.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like those guys, they come and go, and they're not, you know, they don't get a lot of praises sung about them and whatever. But you better be, you know, you better take advantage and do the most you can with those 3 or 4 years you have, because, you know, something's going to happen along the way that's going to disable you in one way, shape, or form that you won't be able to continue.
And he seems to keep getting better year in, year out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he reached his peak and now he's starting to move out of the game of football. He just seems to continue to get better and better.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, the other thing that's amazed me too, Coach, is, you know, with the guys being big as they are, it seems like kids in general, athletes in particular, are a little bit taller and bigger than what they used to be. And one of the things that still amazes me, despite the fact that they're that much taller and they're bigger, is the amount of speed that they have on the football field. Sometimes, folks, if you're at a game, take a look, watch the line, and see how quickly those guys can do things.
Yeah. Well, I'm 6'2", and my son graduated last year from Central, and he's 6'5",
okay,
225, and much quicker and much more agile, I mean, better than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. Like you said, they're getting bigger and faster, stronger. They can do things much better than what they could 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's almost...
It's amazing the size of the game and how it's progressing.
It sounded like an episode of the $6 Million Man there, bigger, faster, stronger. But, no, it's amazing how those things have changed over the years, and it's also amazing, too, how much that plays out in high school football. I mean, the guys that love the game and spend the time are already on that course to the max out of their bodies.
And what hurts, like this year, we had to try to talk some guys who want to be tight ends and fullbacks. Hey, you know, we need linemen up front. We need people to do some things up there. And a couple guys were very accepting of it. A couple guys weren't. So we got to make the best with what we have. I mean, we've actually lost some size, but I can't question their effort. I mean, they're out there every day giving everything they got, trying to do what they can do. And that's what's unique about high school football. Every year you get a new team. I mean, you got to make adjustments. You got to make a plan on what you can do well, what you won't be able to do well, how you can make things better. And that's one of the biggest transitions for me, was trying to find out exactly what we needed to change and how we could get to that level to be able to be successful.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've always admired for you high school coaches is the ability to roll with all of this, because your subject, and this is not meant as an insult to the people that live in the school district, but you're subject to what's going on as far as families go. You know, what families are growing, what families, you know, how many children they want to have and things of that nature. And your next incoming year, they may be junior high now and coming in as freshmen. You're subject to whatever the families in the school district have been doing as far as children and child rearing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why a lot of schools have peaks and valleys, and
yeah,
they're up on top for a couple of years, and then they drop down for a couple of years. People in the community have talked to me, and I see that we've been very blessed, maybe even spoiled, that we've had a success about 15 years here of quality athletes come through.
Yeah.
Not just football players, but they're successful in other sports as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just amazing that we've been able to stay at that high level for so long. And I recognize there's going to be some drops here and there, but we're going to try to stay up on that level as long as we can.
Yeah, and you've got somebody like Hunter Smith from last season, and, you know, he was so outstanding on the football field. And, of course, one moment I'll never forget is when we were down at Bedford. It was a very cold night, and it went to overtime, and Hunter kicked the winning field goal. And it's like he just – it was just like, you know, I would say on the air, I'd say, you know, if the coach asked him to drive the bus, he'd go, okay, give me the keys. And he'd get in and drive the bus too. He was one of those kind of young men.
Yep.
And for as good as he was on the football field, and we all got to see it, it ended up that he wanted to get into baseball. And so he's off to Mannheim, and he's going to be a big-time baseball guy.
Yep. He had some elbow problems back during his junior year, but he really recovered from that, and he's had a lot of success in baseball. I mean, he's a solid player. He's a solid all-around young man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing having him in class. I mean, he's probably top 10 in his class.
Mm-hmm.
Does excellent work. I mean, just all-around great individual.
Yeah, he didn't play a bad game of basketball either.
Oh, no.
So, you know, it's in some schools, that's a one of a kind kind of athlete, but more often now, it seems as though you have the potential to have somebody like that, you know, get involved in your program. And when that happens, man, you get the full benefit of having someone like that on the team.
Absolutely. I mean, a couple years before that, him and Jeff Hohenstein were together.
Right.
And before that, we had Alex Hohenstein came through, and we had Austin Cunningham, and I mean, we've had a long succession of great athletes come through. I won't say just football players. They played multiple sports.
Yeah.
But they were able to do many things well. And they were great leaders. I mean, they got the team involved, and they gave credit when credit was due. I mean, they did all the little things correct, along with being a highlight player game in, game out.
Yeah, yeah. It's so much fun to watch those kids and, you know, watch the effort they put into it and then see the quote-unquote final product on a Friday night. And it's really quite the journey as you go through each season. We're going to come back. We're going to talk. We'll focus in a little bit more on your time there at St. Francis and some of your starts in coaching and, you know, how you got to be where you are today. We'll do that after we take this time out. It is Sports Central with Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger. It's brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. And it's also brought to you in part by Pleasant Valley Recreation Center, Mike's Sport Shop, and Manis Motorsports. Back with more of the show right after this.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party bar. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Hank FM.
Welcome back to Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. It is Thursday, and we're talking to the freshly minted head coach of the Central Dragons. That, of course, is Jerry Albright. And Coach, well, it's a short segment here, but I do want to go back to one thing from last season, if you don't mind.
No problem.
It's Friday night. Everybody's all set, ready to go, and the game is against Tyrone. And, you know, it was one of those evenings where, you know, it was kind of muggy, it was kind of hot. You thought, oh, there may be a storm. And all of a sudden, in the pregame, or when did that happen? Was it in the pregame?
Just before kickoff.
Yeah, just
during the Star-Spangled Banner was just over.
Okay. Yeah. And it was the most, I have never been that close to a lightning bolt in my life. And then I talked to, I don't know if it was, if I talked to AJ or maybe I talked to, I might have talked to one of the officials who was down in the field. And he explained to me that that was a horizontal bolt of lightning that went along just past the end zone where the trees are. And it just shot down, you know, horizontal to the ground right into that forest area, and the explosion that you get when it's that close is something like I have never experienced before.
I had some friends who were standing along the fence, and they said they could actually feel electricity going through the fence.
Yikes.
It's like touching an electric fence, a shock that they were feeling.
Wow.
I've never been that close either. I mean, it was sort of made you think twice about what to do and what was going to be our next step and what we had to do to protect the kids too. We had to get them into a place where it was going to be safe for them to be. And I mean, our locker room's not very big to begin with, and try to put 60 plus kids in there. And eventually we got some kids in the cars and got some kids in different places that everybody was safe. And sooner or later, the storm did move away, but we weren't able to continue playing football that night though.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a strange thing. We ended up finishing, starting and finishing that game on a Monday evening then.
Yeah. Yep.
But, it was, and it's such a big deal, as a matter of fact, Coach, that they recorded, we record all the football games here at the radio station. And so they were recording when that happened. And the guys here ended up isolating just that bang that came from that lightning bolt. And we still have that on file here at the radio station because it's a real rarity to be that close, not be injured, you know, in some way, shape, or form, because it's like you were saying, the people could feel, you know, the static buildup and everything before that let loose. And, you know, it's you can't really – you know, no one can predict lightning. Know it's going to happen, but where? Nobody knows. That's just
and
one of
there wasn't any previous lightning either to try to take warning before then. That was the first.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Thunder lightning that occurred in the middle of that storm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing that was I thought was notable in remembering back about that is the fact that the fans, you know, I knew you guys were immediately into action to get the players off the field and get them to a safe area. But the fans, for a brief period, it wasn't long, but there was that shock of what just happened.
Yep.
And nobody moved. Everybody was kind of frozen for a while.
They didn't even try to get out of the stands. I mean, they just sat there and were like, what do we do next? Where are we supposed
yeah.
to go?
And, yeah. And, it, you know, and credit to the fans that were there. And it's great to see all the fans that turn out at the Roaring Spring Athletic Field to watch Central football. And they were so calm and orderly when they did get out of the stands. Nobody panicked. But it was just, that's how much of a shock that is to you.
Yeah.
When you're that close to lightning, it's just like, I guess your mind's going, what just happened? You know?
Yeah.
So that was a big memory that I'll have of Central football for the rest of my life. The other one was that wonderful game at Slippery Rock, but I digress. That was something else. That was a serious snow game, and I think that's still online somewhere. Every once in a while, I pull that up and I'll watch, and it's like, how did that game even get played? You know?
Yeah.
It was something.
Actually, we got there on the bus before the sleet and freezing rain started.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of the fans and my wife, they got there at game time. Actually, they got there late because they just actually couldn't travel in some of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely nasty. And, you know, I got there and it was like I had been on 79 going northbound, and I got off at the Slippery Rock exit. And from that point to the football field, it just wasn't moving real fast.
No.
So the typical thing that happens, they take care of the interstate first, and then eventually they make their way down to the regular roads that people use. So
yeah, the unique thing about that game also was in the pregame, our guys were out running around in those shirts, crazy as could be.
Uh-huh.
And Grove City, they would come out for about 2-3 minutes, and they're freezing cold, and they go back in their locker room. And it was just a... like a head game going on, and
our kids
were leading the way, and it was.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's it's something too that you know, anybody that's in that part of the state should be well hardened to that type of thing that happens. I do a lot of fishing in Erie, and I've had days where I was fishing in an area closer to the lake. And it just basically rained all day. And then later in the afternoon, it started to snow. And I ran from the stream to get in my vehicle, threw my stuff from the camper into the vehicle, and took off. And while all that rain was coming down at Erie, just down the road at beautiful Edinburgh, there was already 16 inches of snow on the road. There's some crazy weather up there, that's for sure.
It sure is.
All right. We'll come back and talk a little bit more. We'll get into your college times at St. Francis, and we'll do that after we take this time out. You're listening to Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars.
NASCAR didn't like the wreck and win. Austin Dillon does not qualify for the playoffs. Joey Logano also fined after his post-race actions. Austin Dillon and Richard Childress Racing will be each docked 25 driver and owner's points for their on-track actions. Also, the finish of the race will not count when determining playoff eligibility for the playoffs. With that 25-point deduction, Dillon drops from 26th to 31st, erasing 5 of the 6 spots that he did gain from, quote, winning the race. His spotter, Brandon Benesch, who was heard chanting on the radio during the last lap of the race while Dillon was wrecking Logano and Hamlin, well, he's been suspended the next 3 NASCAR Cup Series races and will return to action for the playoff opener at Atlanta Motor Speedway. It's been the topic all week long, whether NASCAR would do anything about Austin Dillon's wreck and win, as well as some of the drivers kind of wondering out loud, can they just wreck the other 3 playoff drivers at Phoenix to win the championship, which would certainly not be a good look for the sport. But wait, there's more. NASCAR has fined Joey Logano $50,000 for his actions on pit road after the race. NASCAR determined that Logano's actions were unnecessary and dangerous after the Team Penske driver nearly ran into a group of people on pit road, which included Austin Dillon's wife, Whitney, and their 2 kids. Richard Childress Racing has indicated they will be appealing the Austin Dillon penalty, so there's more to come on this, I'm sure. You're on the final lap.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Yeah, my daughter needs a laptop for college, but I need to watch the budget.
Well, Staples hot deals on tech are backed by a price match guarantee, so our prices won't be beat.
Great. I can't believe my baby's starting college.
She'll do great.
I know.
Oh, let's get you a great deal on a laptop.
Save big on tech for school at Staples. Now get up to $300 off select PCs. Ends 8/24 price match guarantee valid within 14 days of purchase. Exclusions apply. For details, visit staples.com/price match.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's 6481. William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast. Bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Hank FM!
It is 1370 and 96.1 Hank FM. I'm Dave Shannon. It is Sports Central. I'm sitting in for Corey Geiger this week. And we want to thank J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. We're talking to the new head coach at Central, and that is Jerry Albright. And Coach, you had mentioned your time at St. Francis University in college football and that you suffered an injury. Let's talk about your time at St. Francis, the college among the pines, as it used to be called.
Yep, Frankie, yep.
But tell us about your experience there with football.
Well, I was out of high school. I went to St. Francis. I was an offensive lineman, center, and played 2 years. I had some meniscus problems. I had a slight tear in my MCL, and just I wasn't able to play at the level that I needed to play at for college. So my time was very short. I did get some playing time, but realized that if my life was going to be more impacted by my academic career and getting things rolling that way and keeping my grades up, and people didn't realize that even then when they were transferring from being a Division III when I was in high school, Division I, there was no scholarships involved. We were all doing scholarships, sort of like the Ivy League.
Yeah.
But the guys there play because they love to play football.
Yeah.
I mean, it's college football. I mean, it's the next step up. It's a lot more intensity, a lot more involvement. I mean, there's constant everyday off-the-field activities like weight room and film watching and a lot more involved in football than what was happening in high school. It's just a matter that it wasn't working out for me, but I mean, like I said, I still love the game. And actually, when I was then done playing after my first 2 years, I did a radio broadcast for 2 years at St. Francis. So,
oh, nice.
Time, you and I, we had some fun with that. We got to travel with the team, got to see a lot of these other players. I mean, a lot of times you're a player, you don't see nothing more than the locker room, the field, and the hotel you stayed at.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were going there for radio, we could walk around campus and see some things that you wouldn't get to see.
Oh, yeah.
As a player. So,
yep.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was, I'm sure. Who was your coach at St. Francis at that time?
Yep, Frank Pergolizzi was there.
Okay.
After my second year, he moved. I went out to the West Coast. He became an athletic director out there.
Mm-hmm.
He was also athletic director at St. Francis.
Yeah.
Pete Mayock was my offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
His knowledge of the game of football was unbelievable. My line coach was Kevin Linsman. He's still in the Bellwood area. Have a lot of respect for that guy. He showed me a lot of the little things in football, like weight placement and hands and feet and what to look at in films to just see if things are tipped off to help you out as being a lineman. Things I can still now as a coach transfer to the players I'm coaching. So
yeah,
I had a lot of positive influences from the coaches that I had up there.
And probably some things you've been able to apply as a coach then as you moved on into coaching.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing what I learned. Thinking back now, I wish I would have still tried to play those last 2 years. If I knew then what I know now, I mean, you can be a much better player. You can anticipate things much better,
mm-hmm.
Especially film study. You can see what other teams do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the football game has evolved so much from playing in high school to playing in college. And I can only imagine what it's like if you move on to the next level. So
yeah. Well, I started at St. Francis when Art Martinuska was the AD there. And that was back in 77. So it's I had been there for quite a while with St. Francis University enjoyed every minute. And I'm sure you've been up to see the football field as it is now at St. Francis compared to the old Pine Bowl. that's night and day different.
Big time difference. Both of my sons have went up there, and we go up there and meet with them and go watch some games. And I mean, it's great environment.
Mm-hmm. No, it's great to when the seats all fill up. And I was up there a couple years back when they had their first fireworks game. they played the night game and then they had fireworks afterward. And it was like, this is a big deal. You know, it was a real production that they had going on there. And as I'm there in the press box watching all this happen, I remember back to the days when we were in a cement block building and up on the top floors, the bottom floor was the concession stand and the top floor was the press box. And I remember
those locker rooms were tents on each end of the field.
Yes, yes. Yep. And quite a bit different now. It is
different, yeah.
Yeah, they made a commitment to football and really put an effort into making that Pine Bowl area into quite the facility. And you know, the other thing about that with getting the artificial turf there at St. Francis, that allows some other teams, like I've seen in the spring. You know, early in the spring, since there's not a lot of opportunities in Loretto to be outside in the spring, that having that artificial turf does allow things like the softball team to get out there on the field and get some legitimate outdoor practice that goes on.
Yep.
And, you know, that's it's really paid big dividends for St. Francis University over the course of time.
And they also hold the Lower Highlands Track and Field Championship up there. I mean,
yeah.
They have a facility that could handle 20-plus teams coming in and do it very efficiently.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, you got to be proud of your alma mater then.
Yeah, I'm definitely proud of them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so your St. Francis career gets cut short, but you still are learning things. So when's your first foray into coaching?
Graduated from St. Francis, actually got a job at Spring Cove as a math teacher.
Okay.
And Jack Kreider was the head football coach at Central High School. And I was, like I said, I was trying to become an official. I passed the test. I just couldn't get on a crew. And he actually said to me, he goes, well, if you're not going to be officiating, you want to get into coaching, you want to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And that first year, I was like, absolutely. So he asked Monty Smith, Hunter Smith's father,
okay,
if we would go scouting for him. And I would go to practice Monday through Friday. Or Monday through Thursday, and then Friday night we'd go out scouting. It was before Huddle and before all the other video programmings.
Yeah.
So usually one of us would tape and one of us would try to script plays, and we tried to give them a scouting report of what we saw and what we thought, and that was my first taste of coaching. And I enjoyed that a lot too. I mean, people think scouting absolutely stinks. There's pros and cons to, but got to learn a lot from Monty Smith too. I mean, people didn't realize Hunter Stab was a pretty good athlete in his own right.
Yes, yes.
And his football knowledge was unbelievable too. I mean, we talked what we've seen in the game, and then we talked about things that happened in the past and players in Central history and best teams. I mean, we were the first team to win district championship, but he loved to say, you know, you guys weren't the best team ever came through Central, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody can have their own opinion, and but I mean, it's been nice that we won, what, 9 more since then. So
yeah.
It's hard to argue which team was the best because they all had some strengths and they all had some weaknesses. And
yeah, and that's
played very well.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. And you went out and did, you know, you were there to do the scouting, and you mentioned the video services that are available to teams nowadays. And there's one thing I've always felt. There are things that happen in a game that a camera doesn't always catch. And I think it is so much more valuable to be there to scout a team in person than what you're going to learn some things on video. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But there's something different about being there and actually watching the game in person.
You can get the actual feel, the size of the players and their speed. And like last year when we played Hickory, we didn't recognize the speed that this team had coming in. And once we got in the game, we really were like shocked and trying to think what can we do to counteract it. And we just didn't have the ability to do so last year. Injuries occur within a game. Maybe a player is dressed but not playing. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can pick up in person that you can't get through a video system.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why a lot of times – we play on a Friday, Saturday, and our next opponent, we play on a different night. We're off on the road seeing what's going on.
I mean,
it's so much more valuable to be there in person.
Okay. That's the way I always felt about it. And, you know, it's and maybe some folks don't understand that, but the game is always so much more than what you see on television. And really that extends, Coach, beyond just football. I think that's anything. I think that's whether it's baseball, you name the sport, basketball, whatever it is, being there in person, there's no replacement for that.
Absolutely not. I mean, I helped out Coach Paul Frederick with basketball, and when we had practice about every night that we weren't playing a game, he was off trying to see someone play. Because like you said, you see stuff in person that you don't see through a camera.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I think it helped out our basketball program tremendously. Because he was willing to dedicate that time to making sure to pick up on every little thing we could to be successful.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that, you talk about speed, and I don't want to turn it into the Hunter Smith show, but there was a Western, I think it was a quarterfinal, maybe it was state quarterfinal, where we went off to East Bejesus, right on the border of Pennsylvania and Ohio for a basketball game. And we
park.
Yes. And we go over there, and I think those kids really got a big surprise because, you know, Hunter is one of those guys that if you look at him, you look at him, he's a big guy. And you look at him, you say, yeah, I don't have to worry about him. He can't be that fast. Hunter Smith had so many breakaways down the court in that game that it was like, yeah, you think I'm slow, do you?
He's an unbelievable athlete. And he's been that way forever. I mean, I've been around him since he's been very, very young. It's amazing how people don't anticipate how well he plays for his size and how much he can move and all the little things he does, too. I mean, he's a great man.
Yeah, good genes in that family. Let's put it that way. All right. Now, you had talked about getting involved in coaching there at the beginning, and then obviously things evolved for you, too, as time went on in the coaching ranks.
Yep. I mean, I'd start with Coach Crater. Probably through, I think, 2003, we were up and down. We'd make playoffs sometimes. We didn't. But the one thing is we got the most out of our kids. I mean, we didn't have the dominant athletes. We didn't have the depth of talent, though, like we have now. I mean, we got 65 kids out for football. Back then with Coach Crider, I mean, if we got 30, 35, we had a great number for our team.
Sure, yeah.
It's amazing how that's evolved. And I mean, I know some other schools in our area, they're having trouble getting kids out. We've never had that problem probably in the last 15 years.
And that's the old success breeds success, Coach.
Absolutely,
I mean, you know, they see that when they're young, and it's like, I want to go do that at high school now.
And it's amazing how our youth football program, I mean, they want to come and watch practice. They want to come to games. They want to form that tunnel for the players to run out of. And that just breeds success for later on down the road.
Absolutely. So the next step in coaching for you was, by the way, you did mention officiating. How long did you do that?
I was a basketball and baseball official for 22 years.
Okay.
I only did football for two.
Yeah, that's still a good career. And by the way, we're talking about recruiting. Right now, the PIAA needs help recruiting more officials. It is really, I don't know, at some point down the road, I don't know, I don't think it's happening this season, but you're going to end up seeing a lot of Saturday games because there'll be so few officiating crews that they won't be able to cover all the games on a Friday night.
You see, there's even Thursday games now. I know that Southern Huntington played a couple. I think Northern Bedford played a Thursday game the other year. Claysburg played a couple Thursday games.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're exactly right. I mean, the numbers of officials are dropping. It's sort of ironic that a couple different crews asked if I told them that when my youngest son graduated high school last year, I get back into officiating.
Mm-hmm.
And then the head coaching job came open, so I jumped on that instead.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost became an official instead of a coach. So
yeah, yeah. Well, you're still young enough to do that, so.
Thanks.
Well, you see, since I have 18 years on you, it's like you're a youngster to me.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, talk about Coach Baker. I mean, it was that was the man that I got connected with, and always, and hopefully we'll continue the trend and do a pregame show before each game. But it was always so good to sit down with him and talk about his team and talk about, and he was, you know, one of the things that most all coaches will, coaches, baseball managers, doesn't matter what it is. It's like, okay, yes, we lost that game and we know that, but I'm worried about what happens today,
yep.
You know,
yep.
But one of the things I always like to do with Coach Baker was to go back over the previous week's game, because there were, you know, certain people in those games that you did want to talk about, guys that maybe weren't necessarily headliners, and you have a game and by golly, here's a new headliner on the team.
Yeah. I mean, he was great. I knew him ever since I was in high school. I went to his father's church. He would come occasionally to the church. I knew him when he was down at Williamsburg. I didn't really get to coach beneath him. When Coach Hohenstein became the head coach at Central, he brought both Dave and I up to the varsity level at the same time.
Okay.
And I got to learn. I mean, he taught us a lot, because at Williamsburg, you don't have a whole lot of numbers. So you had to make the most of what you had.
What you had, yeah.
And we'd have 23. He said, like at Williamsburg, they wouldn't even have 22 guys to scrimmage on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to do other types of drills, half man, inside, just other things to be able to practice, to be able to be efficient on Friday nights.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't realize how nice we had it, that we had guys that we could actually scrimmage every single night with. I mean, we had a little bit of depth that we could work some younger guys at different things, different positions, and try to do some different things to try to develop team.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for that year, but also for the future.
Yeah.
It's little things like that that really put some things in perspective for me.
Yeah.
He was always positive about everything. I mean, even when things were going well, it just keep calm. Things are going to change. And we were very fortunate. Typically, they did change for the good for us. A lot of times we dug ourselves some holes and we were able to stare our way out and come out on top. I mean, there's a lot of little things that people didn't recognize with Coach Baker, but he was like that father figure to a lot of our coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us great perspective. He gave us great knowledge. Just a way to approach players. I mean, you can't be angry, upset, yelling and screaming all the time. And sometimes you have to pull them aside and talk nicely to them. Sometimes you have to pat them on the butt. Sometimes, I mean, there's different ways to address every player. Not every player was the same.
Yeah, for sure.
Just some of the things I picked up from Coach Baker that influenced me the way I'm coaching now. So.
Yeah, yep. Okay, we're going to take our final break here and come back and wrap up today's show. Our guest tonight is the new head coach at Central, and that is Jerry Albright. We'll continue with Coach, and we'll wrap up the show. You're listening to Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars on 1370 and 96.1 Hank FM.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains from August 16th through the 19th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
At ShoeFly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into ShoeFly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. ShoeFly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of ShoeFly's fit specialists, visit their website, ShoeFlyStores.com. ShoeFly. Your feet will thank you.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Welcome back to Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger this week. By the way, tomorrow's show, I'm not sure where we're going to go. We may do a little baseball talk about some of the younger teams that are out there and how they're doing. We're hoping that there's a win tonight in the offing for the 14 and under Babe Ruth squad. Just doing amazing things in Texas at the nationwide tournament. So that's probably what we will do for tomorrow night. Right now, tonight, it's Jerry Albright, the head coach of the Central Dragons. And first game coach coming up next week. And Belfont comes to the Roaring Spring Athletic Field.
Yep. Belfont had a new coach last year, so they were transitioning, and
yeah.
I think we sort of caught them off guard. I mean, we got up big early, and I mean, I'll be honest. Last year, I thought we'd win some games, but I didn't think we'd score the points that we put up.
Yeah,
but we got up a lot of points early, and then we sort of coasted the rest of the way. We got in some younger players and trying to get some experience.
Oh, that's always a good thing. Then you go on the road for two. You visit Somerset and Tyrone. You got Golden Eagles back to back on those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Somerset's the same exact way. I mean, they're transitioning. They were having trouble getting players out. I think they have like 30, 35 kids out, which is about 10 more than they had the last couple of years. Their quarterback's back. I mean, they have a couple of linemen back. They're going to be a solid team. I mean, they're going to be much better than what they were last year. I mean, they've actually come to our field 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably happy that we have to go there for
once. Yeah, a little get even there. Tyrone's always a tough out, and John Franco still keeping those Golden Eagles right in the thick of things.
Yep. I mean, the walk-hitted quarterback, I mean, he's going to be a very tough act to control. I mean, he has a great arm. I think he has a bunch of linemen come back. I do understand one of the linemen might have gotten hurt for the season. But again, Tyrone's good year in, year out. Coach Franco gets the most out of his players every year. And I mean, that's going to be tough to get down to Tyrone and get a victory, but we'll give it our best.
Yeah, no, that should be a great game. Looking forward to that. That'll be on September 6th. Then you host Bellwood Antis at the Roaring Spring Athletic Field. And
yeah, I mean, they were super young last year. They started, I'm going to say, that three or four freshmen and a bunch of sophomores, and they were solid last year. They gave us all that we could handle at their place. I mean, we had trouble. We couldn't stop the run. I know the McCartney kid, he had some unfortunate knee injury here near the end of the summer, but they'll be solid. I mean, they have a bunch of linemen coming back. They were very young, and I think they're still young. I think they're still mostly sophomores and juniors, so they're an up-and-coming team that's going to give a lot of teams headaches this year.
Yeah, Coach Lubrich is a very inspirational kind of coach, too. I did some work with him on the radio. We covered them for a couple of years there, and Bellwood Annis treated us well. Then you're at Bishop Guilfoyle, but not really. You're going to be playing that game in Hollidaysburg, so you don't have to go quite as far to play BG.
Yep, I'm not sure what happened in there, but instead of playing on a Saturday night at Mansion Park, he got moved to a Friday night at Tiger Stadium in Hollidaysburg.
Yeah.
I've been telling the kids, I think that's going to be our toughest game on our schedule.
Okay.
They're solid. I mean, I think their numbers are down a little bit, but they're always a solid team. They have a lot of talent, and those kids always play hard. So we were lucky to beat them the last couple of years, and we're going to have to play exceptionally well this year if we think we're going to have any success.
Then you got three at home after that. That's unusual, too, to have three games at home in a row. Where Huntington comes and then Penns Valley and then Bedford. Bedford's always that is a fun game to watch.
They've given us a lot of battles the last couple of years. Like you said earlier, we had we were down 10 plus points with under 5 minutes to go and came back to tie it, and then they missed an extra field goal to win, and Hunter made one to win, and that was a tremendous game. That was a lot of fun. It's funny because that's one of the games as a coaching staff we actually talked about in the last couple of days, different things that happened and how things evolved in that game and how some linemen actually stepped up and made some big plays that contributed to getting us a win on that night.
Yeah, and then the regular season schedule wraps up with a trip to beautiful downtown Clearfield. Not really. Clearfield High School's way far away from downtown Clearfield, but nonetheless, that is and talk about a nice facility to go to. That is really a nice place there.
Beautiful place, and we were very lucky to beat them both times last season. We had them on our homecoming night and squeaked the game out in rain and mist. And then we went up and played the Dubois in the state playoff system. And like I said, we were very, very lucky to win that game. But just shows that if you keep working hard and keep working at things, I mean, things will work out positive in the end.
Yeah. And I'll remember that game for a while because the following week, then Coach Baker, I won't say dressed me down, but he did kind of give me the business because the traffic to get up to Dubois that week was just unbelievable. And, I did not get there in enough time to get the equipment set up to do the broadcast and go down to interview him. And the first thing he says to me when I walk up to him the next week is, "Where were you last week? Where were you?" It's like I got stuck in traffic.
It's fine. It's there. Yep.
So, at any rate, well, we wish you all the best this season. I'll see you on Saturday for the scrimmage that is coming up at the athletic field, and all the best to you. Great talking to you.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
Sure, and we'll get to see Coach again when we have the 33 on Mac Bottle Bar 33 High School Football Coaches Show. Yes, indeed, that is coming back, and we'll be able to see the coach that night. That is going to do it for tonight's edition of Sports Central. And I have one more night to fill in for Corey Geiger. We'll catch you again tomorrow evening, and we'll just see where things go. Thanks for being with us, and catch you again tomorrow night.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.